And the title of my message is The Man in the Mirror. And this morning I want to talk about a lot of stuff, but what I want to talk about first is judgment calls. Have you ever made a judgment call about something, right? You laugh, because we make judgment calls 1,000 times a day, don't we? Right? You're walking down your street or you're in front yard of your house and you see a dog wander through the neighborhood and you have to make a judgment call. Is this the neighbor's dog or is this a wild dog? Do I need to go run and grab a stick or a rock or a knife and defend myself from this wild beast? Or is it the friendly chihuahua that lives next door and is just barking at me, right? I got to make a judgment call. We go to the gas station and we're sitting there filling up our car with gas and we see a stranger walking closely by our car. We have to make a judgment call in a moment, don't we? Is this a dangerous person here to inflict harm on me or steal from me or hurt me? Or is this just a nice stranger that's in the car right next to me getting back to his car? We've got to make judgment calls. Judgment calls are really a part of our everyday life. In fact, I was just having this conversation this past weekend, actually with my 8-year-old as we read the book of Proverbs in our nightly Bible study. And we read this passage. It says, Proverbs 22:3 says this, says a prudent person foresees danger. Say foresees. They foresee danger and they take precautions. But the simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. So the Bible tells us that there is great wisdom in using our discernment and using our prudence to foresee danger, to be on lookout for those things that can cause us harm physically or emotionally or spiritually. And it's wise to do so. But what happens when we take a gift of discernment, something that's a good thing, and we judge too much? We take our judgment too far and we begin to judge people beyond just what is prudent, what is discernment, and begin to judge people by all of their actions. What happens to our relationships? What happens to our families and those closest to us? What happens to the fabric of our very society when we begin to overly judge one another? I would submit to you and I would believe that our fabric of our society begins to unravel when we judge one another. When we become a culture and a people and a nation that distrust each other so deeply, it causes us to tear apart. Now this morning, I believe there's great irony in the scripture that we're about to read from Luke chapter 6, because it's one that I believe many in our culture, Christian or not, love to quote from Jesus. This is like Jesus' most tweetable moment to our culture, right? Judge not is a phrase that comes from our scripture today. And though our culture loves to spout that, loves to wave the banner of judge not, I would submit to you that our culture is one that judges more than any culture before it. And we judge each other more harshly than we should. In fact, I could give you countless examples from just the news media alone. They're really fun to poke fun at, right? To watch our news, any channel, pick a channel, right? And the way that we judge one another based on our words or what we intend them to mean. And I could give you examples. I'm not even going to get to. You look in the political arena, you'll find examples, all right? I'll just leave it at that. You'll see it there if you look there. But we live in a world that tells us as Christians, don't judge me, man, right? That tells us as followers of Jesus, man, you're judgmental. You judge and you live as a hypocrite. And they tell us that we're judging the world all the while they're judging us, aren't they? It's kind of ironic how that works. And that's exactly what I want to talk about today. Because this morning I believe that some of those statements we need to listen to. When our culture calls us judgmental, when our culture calls us hypocritical, we need to take heed of some of those words a little bit and listen to the words of Jesus this morning. And this morning, what I would like for you to do as we talk through the Word of God is not just listen to this as some great debate or discussion for somebody else. Don't you love how we can do that? That's a really good message for my neighbor, right? That's a really good word. I'm going to share that podcast with my spouse because she just needs to hear it or he needs to hear it. No. I want you to hear this and ask the Lord to speak to you, to apply the Word of God to your own life first. See, as followers of Jesus, I don't trust Jesus just as my Savior. He's not just my get-out-of-hell-free card, right? I don't just make him my Savior, but I make him my Lord. And what that means is I begin to ask Jesus in all areas of my life, Jesus, where are the areas of my life where my life does not line up with what you've called me and created me and made me to do? And then I begin asking him to help me to change in those areas. So this morning, before we even dive in, I want to pray that the Lord would reveal things in my heart and in yours, that he begin to speak to us, because this isn't just a lesson that we learn about, but I believe God wants to speak to some of us today. Amen? Would you bow with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And this morning, as we open up your word, we invite you, Spirit of the living God, to speak to us, to reveal yourself to us, to be like a mirror in our lives, to reflect the things that we might not even see about our own selves. And today, as we come to your word, which is like that mirror, Lord, I pray that you would reveal things in us that you want to change. That you would remind us that we don't have to change alone, but you give us strength and power to change. You give us freedom from our mistakes and our failings. So help us to see ourselves. Help us to see the truth of your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning I've got a couple things I want to share with you. We're going to get into the word, but the big idea this morning, if you're taking notes, is this. The big idea is this, that following Jesus is about just two things. It's about acknowledging the depth of my own sin and recognizing and trusting in his amazing grace. Amen. It's recognizing the depth of just how kind of jacked up I've gotten by my sin and how great God's grace is. And if we will keep those two things in mind as we get to our scripture today, I believe it's gonna help us to understand what Jesus is talking about, because that's what it's all about. See, before I can come to Jesus, I have to acknowledge and realize that, man, I'm a sinner. That I have transgressed God's law, and that I'm in need of a Savior. And the only way I can do that, again, is to acknowledge my own sin and then to fully, completely trust in the grace of God. I have to have both parts of that equation. Otherwise, I miss out on what it's all about. And I can begin to think of myself as, if I just realize the grace of God and I forget that, man, I'm a sinner in need of grace, then what can happen in my own heart is I can begin to get a little bit hard-heartened. How dare those people over there? They're not as good as I am, right? They're not as good as I am. And that's what I believe Jesus wants to talk to us about. And let me just say this. You are special to God. In fact, my pastor, when I got saved, he had this plaque on his desk. I loved it. I don't know that it's true. I don't think it is, but this is what it said. It said, Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. And I just love that. So turn to the person next to you and say, I'm God's favorite. And it's good for us to lean in and to recognize that God loves us. But it's important that we understand that God loves us and we are special. But we're not special because of how great we are. The Bible over and over again reminds us that we're not saved by our works, so that none of us can boast. None of us can say, huh, I know that person over there is a Christian, but look at what I've done. Right? He says we're not saved by our works so that we can't boast. But you are special. But you're no more special than a homeless bum living down the street under the railroad track underpass. You're no more special than the president who lives in the White House. You're no more special than the addict living in rehab right now. Or you're no more special than the forgotten seniors living in the convalescent home across the town. You are special because God says you're special. You are valuable because he says you're valuable. And that is not because of what we do. It's because of what God says about us. And that's an amazingly profound truth that if we'll grab hold of, it will change us. That we're valuable because God says we are. But I've got to learn to acknowledge the depth of my sin. And it's only when I acknowledge the depth of my sin that I can acknowledge the height of his grace. Just how far Christ has brought me. So with that in mind, let us look to the words of Jesus. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 37. This is what Jesus says. Jesus says this, and I'm going to actually pick up verse 36. It's not on the screen, but he concludes our last week. He stopped at this verse, and I'm just going to tag it on. Verse 36, he says, be merciful as your Father is merciful. And then he says in verse 37, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be put into your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And then he tells them this parable, this story. to help them understand this truth in a deeper way. He says, can a blind man lead a blind man? Now, I just love this picture. Can you just or get in your mind, I'm walking around with a cane. A blind man is leading a blind man. I love it. Will they not both fall into a pit, right? They're going to walk and just fall into something. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Jesus continues again. Last week we looked at forgiveness. Some of us need to be reminded of that. If you missed last week's message, don't send it to a friend. Listen to it yourself. Check it out. Because I believe God wants to remind us through the teachings of Jesus that forgiveness is an important thing. But he continues that and talks to us about how we apply grace to people that don't deserve it. Don't you know we have people in our lives that don't deserve grace? No? Good. Yeah, we don't feel like they do, but they do. You're right. They do deserve our grace. But there's people that we don't feel like, man, they haven't earned my grace. But Jesus talks about showing mercy, and he takes this issue further. See, because here's the deal. When I judge, I remove all grace from the situation. When I judge you or judge someone, man, I remove all grace and mercy from trying to understand their situation, the circumstances of what they're going through, where they're at, what they're living through. And Jesus gives us a couple good examples and notes about judgment. He says, when we're tempted to judge, I must remember the depth of my own sin towards God. When I'm tempted to judge, I must remember the depth of my own sin towards God. See, I am least apt to apply grace to you when I forget that I have a recipient of grace myself. And that's an important thing to know. When I forget that I'm imperfect and I see people that are imperfect, man, it's real easy for me to forget to apply grace to them. And the opposite is also true. When I will remember and live my life, not in guilt or shame or in condemnation, because that's not what God calls us to live under, but when I will live my life and remember that I'm imperfect too, that I've been afforded so much grace by God, by my family, by my friends, by people around me, it's so much easier for me to remember to apply grace to other people as well, isn't it? When I remember just how indebted I was to God and how God set me free and said, you don't owe me anything, your debt is covered by what I did on the cross, man, it changes the way I live towards other people, the way I carry debts around. See, Jesus says, judge not, and you will not be judged. And he goes on and says, condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And Jesus gives us this reaping and sowing polemic here. And he says to us that to the measure that you apply grace, God will apply grace to you. He says, if you will apply mercy, then God will apply mercy. But the contrary is also true. If you won't apply grace, then God says, then what's waiting for you is the same. To the same measure, you apply forgiveness and grace and mercy to your brother, God will show to you. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear those words, it kind of sobers me a little bit. It kind of makes me say, woo! So what you're saying, God, is that whole love God and love people thing, those two are connected. That when I don't show love to people, it's as if I'm not showing love to you, my creator, my God. See, Jesus says the opposite as well, though. He says, man, if I will lavish grace, then he'll lavish grace towards me. That if I will live with mercy towards my fellow brother and sister, then God will live with mercy towards me. See, we can measure out for ourselves either judgment or grace. And we can measure it towards ourselves in the same way we measure it out to others. And let me just say, this is an important distinction. As we talk about judgment, I don't believe God is forbidding us to have legitimate exercise of judgment in courts of law and places like that, or in church discipline, or areas where there's right and wrong that we need to judge between and have discernment about. But what I believe Jesus is talking to is our ability to continuously criticize people, You know what I mean? To continually nitpick other individual human beings that have been made in the image of God. See, we have a tendency as humans to try and make ourselves feel better by making someone else feel worse. Have you noticed that among us as humans? I mean, we're kind of jacked up that way. We like to make ourselves feel good by making someone else not look as good. We'll say to ourselves, well, I know I'm a sinner, but have you seen that guy? Right? You ever find yourself in that kind of paradigm? Well, I know I messed up, Lord, but thank God I'm not like this guy. Jesus actually came across a lot of religious people that were doing stuff like this. They would say, thank God I'm not like that horrible sinner over there. Thank you, Lord, for the grace, right? And Jesus says, no, 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 no. See, because what happens is that becomes our justification. See, that's the lie, that if I demonize him, then it makes me look better. But we've been forgiven much, and without grace, we too are under judgment. See, without the grace of Jesus Christ, not one of us can earn our way to God through righteous deeds. All of us have to pay the penalty for our sin. So I must remember the depth of my own sin towards God. In fact, just this week in our Bible reading plan, if you're not reading it, you should follow along with us. But we read this passage that I had in my notes, so I thought it was, all right, Lord, I'll definitely share it. Romans 5, 6 says this, that while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And then verse 8 says almost the same. It says, God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, say still sinners. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to have it all worked out. He didn't wait for us to get our act together. He loved us first. When you and I were still wallowing in the filth of our own sin. And even now, when we fall back into it, while we're still weak, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, he laid down his life for us. What an important reminder for us on this weekend as we celebrate Memorial Day and look at our heroes in our nation that have laid down their lives for us. What a great sacrifice. We're an imperfect nation and we have men and women that will serve and lay down their lives in service of us. What a picture of our Savior. The Savior who laid down his life for us when we weren't perfect. When we, quite frankly, didn't deserve his grace or mercy. When some of us were spitting on his face and mocking him. He laid down his life for us. See, Christianity is not about being perfect or pretending to have it all figured out. Oh, sure, it's about trying to become more like Jesus, the man who was perfect, but it's not about having it all figured out on this side of eternity. I've heard it said this way, Christianity is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find the bread. And I think that's perfectly appropriate because that is our job, helping others to find the source of bread. So when I'm tempted to judge another, I must remember the depth of my own sin towards God. Secondly, Jesus says, when I'm tempted to judge, I must remember not only the depth of my sin, but the height of God's grace for me. See, that distinction, that difference between the depth of my sin and the height of his grace, you can just imagine a cross filling that space. He says, can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? See, Jesus often talked with religious folks. He did often. And he called them, he had this pet name for them. He called them blind guides. Because they were guiding people and telling them where to go, but they kind of missed the big picture. And maybe you've been there. Maybe you've done that. You've missed the forest for all the trees. You focused on the wrong details and missed the big picture of what God's doing. Because here's the problem. We can get our details right and miss the big picture of what God wants to speak to us. And folks have done that throughout history as we've read God's word and said, God, I want to obey your word. And we can miss the heart of God, serving the will of God and doing the right things, but not having the right heart. Missing on what God's intention was for us. He says, can a blind man lead a blind man? See, our reception of grace, I've been thinking about this week, can blind us to the enormity of the cross. And the longer I walk with Jesus, the more that this can happen in my life if I'm not careful. See just how big a deal it was that God saved me, man. When I gave my life to Jesus and I was a high school student, man, I knew that God was redeeming me. I knew that I didn't deserve his grace. And man, it wrecked me. It changed me. It transformed me. It compelled me to want to share this good news with everyone that I saw. I was like a little, I don't know what I was. I was a little barking dog barking at everyone, you know. And I shared this faith that I had, what Jesus had done in my life. But it's easy, the longer we walk with Jesus, the more that he transforms us into his image and likeness, we can forget just how far he's redeemed us, just how big the cross is in our lives. And we must not miss the heart of why behind Jesus has called us to do. In fact, Jesus talked with some religious folks that kind of forgot what they were doing and why they were doing it. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus talks about this because these men were fastidious in their religious practices. They were always being sure to follow God's word to the letter of the law. And there's not a bad thing about following God's word. Don't hear me wrong. But they missed the forest for the trees. This is what it says in Matthew 23:23. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others, you blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel." I love Jesus' metaphors, don't you? He's like the king of hyperbole. But what I love about this scripture, I want you to imagine this, because God does call us to give to... That's a form of worship as we give back to the Lord. We see it from the very beginnings of the book of Genesis as Cain and Abel gave to the Lord an offering from their flocks and of their herds. And the Bible does call us to tithe. I don't want to teach on that right now, but it calls us to give to him of the first fruits of our flocks and of our crops and of all that he provides for us. It's a good principle. In fact, for my wife and I, when we got married as young college students that were in love and kind of, well, we were poor. And we were in college and we were poor. And so, man, this was a big test for us. Like, we love the Lord and we're serving him. And we made this decision, all right, God, we're gonna give you that first 10%. We're going to do that. We're going to sow into the kingdom and trust you with this because we believe you're in control and you're sovereign. It was a big deal for us as a newlywed couple. And God has always been faithful to us. That's the end of that discussion. But he's always shown us that he's true. But these guys, man, they took it to another level, right? I just imagine, now this is a beautiful potted plant we have in our house, and it says we're meant to be. I love this. But I want you to imagine these guys, and they're out in their garden, and they're thinking, oh, you know what, Lord, you've blessed me with a mint. I've got this mint leaf, so Lord, now I need to take a tenth of this, and I need to take this to church, and I need to put it in the offering bucket. We say, there's nothing wrong with that. But these guys were, I mean, they were like, all right, Lord, there's the tenth of my mint leaf. I'm going to bring it to the offering and I'm going to drop it in the plate because I trust that you provided this for me. It's a good thing, but they missed it. They've missed the weightier matters of the law, as Jesus says, justice and mercy and faithfulness. See, when I'm tempted to judge others, I must open my eyes to the immensity of God's grace for me. Sometimes we can miss on what God is really trying to speak to us because we've forgotten the perspective, the big picture. And it's easy for me to judge people when I look at the smallness of the situation. When I zoom back and realize where I'm at and where they're at, it changes things. See, because the problem is that we often judge other people by their actions, don't we? And we judge ourselves by what? By our intentions. It's true. We do it all the time, right? In fact, I was thinking about this, you know, when we see someone make a mistake, we think, man, look, what a jerk that guy is, right? Maybe you've ever been in the grocery store and there's a loud family there. By the way, that's probably my family. I apologize. But there's that loud kid that's screaming at all the aisles for the candy or whatever. And you see the dad finally like just like, hey, you got to stop it. And they have to really bring some discipline, right? And you think, that guy's kind of mean, right? How could he yell at that poor little baby? He's so cute, right? Maybe that's what rolls through our mind. Maybe we understand, we give him a little grace, but sometimes it's like, why do you yell at that kid? But when it's us in the store and our child runs away from the shopping cart for the 10,000th time, right? And they scream for the 11 millionth time for something that they want. And I calmly and gently with grace say, sweetheart, you can't have that, right? When I do that, I understand my motives, like, right? I know that that child has pushed all of my buttons, right? I understand because I know my motives, but I only see their behavior. And sometimes we judge other people by their actions, but ourselves by our intentions. And that's our tendency. I judge you based on what I observe you doing, the cold, hard facts, but I judge me based on the situation, the motive, the circumstances. Whole cadre of factors go into my judgment of my own actions. We often judge others by our actions and ourselves by our motivations. And when I'm tempted to judge, I must remember the height of God's grace for me. And finally, quoting the great theologian Michael Jackson, when I'm tempted to judge another, I must take a long, hard look at the man or woman in the mirror. For me, it's a man. I've got to look at the man in the mirror, and I've got to ask him to change his ways. See, that passage of Scripture that I read and that we're reading today, I read in the first months of me being a follower of Jesus, and it kind of wrecked me. It made an indelible mark on my soul because Jesus loved. I love how Jesus was like the king of hyperbole, the king of superfluous conversations, and he was. And Jesus wasn't subtle here. And what he says, Jesus a moment ago talks about straining out a gnat and drinking a camel. I mean, you can just imagine what that would have looked like. But Jesus gives us the ultimate example, and we read it already, Luke 6:41. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye? Tiny piece of dust. But you do not notice the log that is in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all along you're walking around with a log sticking out of your eye? I mean, obviously, it's hyperbole. But what I love, Jesus, is he uses some humor, doesn't he? He doesn't just say, stop being jerks, you religious people, right? He doesn't say that. He uses this metaphor. He uses some humor, some wit to remind us of this truth. He's saying, man, you go around looking to fix other people, but you have not stopped to look in the mirror and ask the Lord what he wants to do in your life. In other words, we've got to start by looking at ourselves, by opening up God's word and saying to the Lord, God, what is it that you would want to reveal in my life that needs to change? Long before I began applying this to my children and applying this to my spouse and applying this to my coworker who really needs this word right here, right? Before I begin doing those things, that I first say, Lord, what would you have me do? What do you want to change? See, following Jesus is about acknowledging the depth of my own sin and trusting in his amazing grace. And when we forget the depth of our sin, we can see other people's sins and start making more of them than we should. And let me just say this, sin is a big deal. I don't want to minimize our sinfulness before a holy and righteous God. It's a big deal. That's why Jesus came. That's why he died on the cross, because you and I deserve death. We deserve the wrath of God, but instead we receive the grace of God because of what Jesus did. But we need to see our sin and remember our sin, not so we live in guilt, but we have perspective as we see brothers and sisters that do those things, that we remember that we were or still are men and women that walk around with logs in our eyes. How silly of us to point the finger at others when the Lord still has so much to do in us. So what's the antidote? Should a Christian never talk about sin? Should churches stop teaching the Bible? I believe there's many in our culture that would love it if we'd stop teaching this book. It's so controversial, right? It has so many things to say to us. But no, I don't believe that's the answer. I don't believe we should stop calling sin sin or stop reading the Bible or applying it to our lives or teaching it. There's many that would love us to do that, but how do we do it? I believe it starts with humility. I believe it starts with humility, to humble oneself before God. That's the ultimate act of submission. It's the ultimate pathway to freedom. See, it's only when, just as we read in the book of Romans this last week, if you're following along in our reading plan, it's when we submit ourselves to God that he sets us free. I make myself a slave to God and his ways, and he sets me free from all those things that were enslaving me. It's one of these counterintuitive things that when I lay down my life for Jesus Christ, man, I pick up my newness of life that only he can bring me. That's when I get set free. That's when I get delivered from those things that had me stuck. See, it's about acknowledging the depth of my sin and trusting in his amazing grace. And it's so tempting, friends. It's so tempting to read the Bible and want to say, ooh, I know who that's for. You've done it. You know you've done it. Oh, if my wife would just read this, right? If my neighbor would just read this, right? I don't ever say that. My wife says it all the time, I'm sure, when she reads her Bible. She's so subtle about it, though, and she teaches me. But we don't read the word with that desire to say, God, would you fix them? Would you get them? But we read the Bible with that word, Lord, show me, search me. In fact, that's my prayer, is that I believe that if we would be a people that would come to God's word, would come to church, would listen to sermons and podcasts and teachings about the Bible and read the Bible with the prayer of David from Psalm 139, it would change us. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Say, my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. He doesn't say, God, search them. He says, search me. He doesn't say, God, know their hearts. He says, know my heart, God. In fact, if you have a Bible, circle that word my, because I think it's so important that we understand. He doesn't say, reveal my neighbor's sins, God. He says, search my heart. And I believe that is the important part of our walk with Jesus. We should encourage one another, sure. If you find the word this morning encouraging, share it with a neighbor. That's fine. But don't do that without first asking God, what do you want to speak to me about? What log do you want to take out of my eye? What thing do you want to work in me first? Because when we stop doing that, that's when we become Pharisees. That's when we become hypocrites. That's when we become these judgmental blind guides that Jesus is talking about. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a blind guide. I want to keep my eyes open. I walked around in the dark with my eyes closed. It didn't end well, all right? Just saying. And that when God speaks to us, our prayer would be the prayer of Psalm 139. I'm sorry, Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Again, my prayer is not, God, fix them. Not search them, not fix them, but God, it searched my heart and created me a clean heart. I love when the timing of this psalm, when it's written, it's right after David has blown it. He's realized how foolish he's been, mistakes he's made. He says, God, created me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. And that's my prayer for you today, is that God would bring you to, or bring you back to, the truth. That we would acknowledge just how deep our sin runs and how high his grace is and how much of a Savior we're in need of, and that as you do, man, it would change you. It would give you grace for others. Because you know how messed up God got you when you were at the bottom. He pulled you out. He redeemed you from that place. And that's my prayer for you, that you would acknowledge the depth of your own sin and that you would fully and completely receive his grace. I pray that this morning, as you remember the depth of your sin, it would keep you humble enough to consider others' faults, and that you remember the cross, the bigness of God's grace. You'd be thankful for his grace. So let's bow our heads and respond to the Lord with a word of prayer. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes as we respond? Lord, we thank you for your word today, which is spoken to us. It's living and active. And today, Lord, I pray that you would remind us of our mistakes, that you'd help us to receive your grace. Lord, that when we're tempted to judge people or where we've judged people recently or a long time ago, God, I pray that you'd help us to remember grace, to be people of mercy. Lord, help us to be generous with grace and mercy into the people's lives that we interact with as we pass on the grace that you've lavished on us. This morning, maybe perhaps God was speaking to you, reminding you of an area that you've given yourself permission to hate instead of to love, permission to judge and to condemn instead of permission to live generously and give grace to. I want to get practical this morning. Following Jesus is about admitting and remembering our own sin. Not in a sense that we need to wallow in it, but that we must never forget that we were far from God. And perhaps that's you this morning. You're still far from God. You need to come home to Jesus. You need to receive that mercy for the first time, or maybe you wandered away. You need to come home. In a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. But first, to those of you who are already walking with Jesus, let me ask you, who was it that God was speaking to you about? What person, what group? Was the Holy Spirit stirring your heart, saying you need to demonstrate grace and mercy? I want to pray a special prayer with you and for you and over you, that God would both reveal areas of your heart that aren't lined up with His, or where your heart has become hardened. That we pray that prayer, search me, O God, and know my heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, I pray that you would search our hearts as you've been doing already. God, I pray that you'd give us strength and courage to make the decision that we're not going to start looking at people, we're going to start by looking at the mirror and asking you to reveal things in us, to search our hearts for things that aren't in line with what you have for us. Lord, I pray that you'd give us, you'd remind us that we're already forgiven where we've fallen short, even in this area of judgment. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to see areas where we've judged that we shouldn't have. Help us to see the logs in our own eyes. And God, I pray that this morning, this week, as we come to your word, even right now as we reflect on this message, God, I pray that you would point out into us logs. And you'd give us courage to ask you for the help to remove them. That we wouldn't be a people that walk around with logs in our eyes, picking specks out of others. Give us power to change our ways. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. Finally, with every head bowed and eye closed, maybe you're here in this place today and you're within the sound of my voice and you've either never made the commitment to follow Jesus or you did a long time ago and you've wandered away. You say, God, it's time for me to come home. I believe some of you might be here today and need to take that very first step of faith to receive the grace and forgiveness of God for the first time. Jesus said it clearly. He said, if you'll acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father who's in heaven. But he says, if you don't, I won't. So in just a moment, with every head bowed, I just want to agree with you, if that's you. I'm not going to call you down front or do anything strange, but if that's you, with every head bowed and eye closed, would you lift up your hand and lift up your eyes and I can agree with you in prayer. You say, I want to receive the grace of God. I want to come home to Jesus. I've been wandering away. Thank you. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you paid our price so that we could be forgiven. Lord, I pray that you'd give us opportunity this day, this week, to look in the mirror, to see, God, areas that you want us to work on. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for this fresh reminder. Help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Church, can we respond to the Lord by singing? I know it's kind of a somber time, but can we stand?